thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request for tonight? Yes, Vanita.
Hello, everyone. Just so wanted you all to agree with me in prayer. I'm visiting my grandma. She's 99 and a half now. And just last week, she started having this issue that she, just every 2 minutes, she's got to get up and go to the bathroom. And she doesn't really have to go, but she just feels like she does. So I haven't seen her. I haven't been here for a while, but I came today and I prayed over her. And just even while I was there, it wasn't every 2 minutes, it was longer and longer. And so I'm just believing that it's done, Lord. I just want to thank you for healing grandma and this problem, this issue that she thinks she has. And Lord, it's just gone. She's not going to have to worry about it. I'm not going to have to call the doctor. No tests are going to need to be done. And she's just healed in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord.
Amen. We thank you, Father, that the bladder and the kidneys are completely operational and everything is working like it's supposed to. And grandma is healed. And she won't have to do this every 2 minutes. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. She's going to have a good time with Benita. Nick, will you? Okay. Thank you, Father, that she's going to have a good time with Grandma. Amen. 99? How you go, girl?
Yep, she'll be 100 on May 27th.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Ooh, that's a long time. But that's young, really, actually, if you think about it. Methuselah was, what was he? He was old. Anyway, thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? I saw the oldest person living was somebody. Might have been in, I don't remember where he was, where she was. It was a she. And she was 120 something. Yeah, she's about as old as Moses or better. Still walking around. Yeah, she's still walking around. All right. Anybody else got a testimony, a praise report, or I got a praise report. Bless God, I am healed, delivered, and set free from everything that has kept me back in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. I can hear. My noses are cleared, and everything else is fixed too in Jesus' name. And I ain't going to murmur anymore about that. Bless God, I'm already healed in Jesus' name. Anybody else? That's my testimony. I'm confessing that I am healed to, before God and y'all too, that I am healed. Thank you, Jesus.
Michael?
Yes, Joe.
I confess that as well. I'm healed, delivered, and I'm set free. I'm a new creation in Christ.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Glory be to God. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Joe is free too. We're all healed. Anybody not healed, raise your hand. Okay, everybody's healed. Jesus, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'll tell you something. Just briefly, long story short. How's that? Long story short. I'm learning with these things that are going on around here about miraculous faith. There's not a difference in miraculous faith and regular faith. It's just attuning your spiritual mind to accept what God has brought forth. And the way you do that, the same way as you do Anything else, you confess it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'll just give you for instance. I thank you, Lord, that the provisions for the gospel getting out by the man, child, and the bride are already here in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that I'm already healed in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that from this point on, we're not going to speak any negativity toward anything around us that we want and desire. Yes, at the quantum level, Cheryl, that's exactly right. Because if you speak negative to what you're seeking, you just drop back a few notches. Period. And I'll leave it at that. How many of you have ever stood up, somebody has ever stood up in a church fellowship and said, well, I need somebody to pray for me because I got the flu. You know what happened? They just called it on themselves. They just called it on themselves. How many times have people looked up and said, man, I've got this or I've got this or I've got that. I need to look it up and find out what I got. And they look it up and sure enough, they, oh my goodness, I got this. Well, guess what happens? You got it. You just opened the door to allow that demon to come in and you're going to get it. Or you already got it. The best thing to do when something comes upon you, I'm finding this out, is to confess it and don't walk back on it. Nowadays, if somebody says something and I can't hear it, I just keep my mouth shut. And they ask me, Michael, did you hear that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard every word of it. Sure did. Might not have understood it, but I heard every word of it. But I don't even say that. I don't even say that. I just say, yep, I heard it. You want me to repeat it? Well, you can if you want to, but I heard it. You have to be adamant in your confessions. I had something here that I was going to relate to you. Let's see if I can find it here. Yeah, do y'all mind? I think this will help everybody. I tell you what, I'm going to play a song. Then after the song, we'll get into this. I believe the Lord wants us to go into this because of what's coming up here shortly. Is that all right? Okay, we'll do that. We'll go ahead and listen to this song first. It's a great song. Jenny sent it to me the other day, and I really liked it. I can find it here. All right, here we go, baby. Maybe, baby. By your spirit, God. Send your spirit, God. You are the fire, we are the temple. You are the voice, we are your song. You are our God, we are your people. You are the light we stand in awe. We stand in awe of you. We stand.
not by power, by your spirit, God. Send your spirit, stir up faith to believe, stir up hope tonight, stir up hope tonight. Sing it one more time. Not by might, not by power, by your spirit, God, send your spirit, God. Not by might, not by power, by your spirit, God, send your spirit, God.
And this morning we have the privilege of welcoming
Would you welcome? Yeah, we will. Next time. Okay, y'all like it? I liked it. I thought it was nice. Good song.
Who sings that?
Kim Walker Smith. What's the name of it? Spirit. Something. Still wants to know what it is. Oh, okay. Your Spirit by Kim Walker Smith. All right. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Testimony? Praise report? A song? There comes Jesse. All right. I'm going to share with some stuff with you here just for occasion here. Uno momento. Cheese and pimentos. James 1:26 says, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. James chapter 3, 5, 6, and 8. So the tongue also is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire? And the tongue is a fire. The world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defileth the whole body and sets on fire the wheel of nature and is set on fire by hell. But the tongue can no man tame. It is a restless evil. It is full of deadly poisons. Learn to program yourself by the word of God. When you feel bad, say, now what does the word say about whatever it is that you feel bad about? So then you praise the Lord and the word says, by his stripes I'm healed, glory to God. And therefore I ain't going to receive your sickness, Satan. I'm just going to pass that one up. Thank you. Now here's the one I was getting to that I saw. And they said, if somebody came to your door and offered you a sack of rattlesnakes, would you just back off and say, well, I guess it's the will of the Lord, and just dump them right here in the living room? Oh, dear God, what am I going to do with these snakes? Snakes in the pantry, snakes in the bathroom, snakes everywhere. Well, I guess this is my cross to bear. Well, dummy, you could have stopped it at the door. Be smart enough to shut the door and tell them, no, thank you. I don't want none of that. And don't get up and testify to the whole church that you're sick of some sort. Oh, my. Listen, this is Charles Cap. He said this. He said he heard a lady just announce it to the whole church that she was taking on the flu. And most of the people in the congregation said, you know, she does look bad. You know, I did notice her eyes were watering. She's taking on the flu. That's what it is. She's got the flu. Now, she's got 100 people agreeing that she's got the flu. And what did Jesus say? He said, if two of you shall agree on earth, Matthew 18 and 19. Now, wouldn't it be much simpler to stand up and say, well, the enemy's been trying to put the symptoms of the flu on me and cause me to believe in it, but I stand before you tonight. You are my witnesses before the angels and before God and before heaven that I am not sick. I'll not have the flu. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. That settles it. Thank you. The word says I'm healed. That's good enough for me. And there would be folks with goggle eyes saying, I wonder what's wrong with her. But when the woman stood up and said, I'm taking the flu, nobody said anything. They just said, oh, that poor thing, she's taking on the flu. Can you see how dumb we've been when it comes to these things? Praise God. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Matthew 12 and 34. That sickness and disease got in your spirit before it came out of your mouth. It was received into your spirit first. And then as you believed, you spoke. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore I did speak. Did I speak? And we also believe, and therefore also we speak. It will stop the ability of God or divine healing from being released within you. It'll put you in bondage unless you learn to control the words of your mouth. Charles Capp said, God gave you a message of deliverance. He said, you can have what you say if you believe in your heart and doubt not. And he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That ought to tell us something. Matthew 15, they were complaining to Jesus about his disciples eating without washing their hands. That wasn't no big deal. Here's what Jesus told them. He said, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. This defiles a man. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. And Jesus is saying, what you speak out of your mouth, that's what's in your heart. And when it comes out, it sets it in motion. It has established your witness on the earth. Because the word says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Now the word says you're healed. And the devil says you're sick. And you got up and said, I'm sick. You just established it by the words of your mouth. You agreed with the enemy. And you could have just as well said, nope, just pass me up. Thank you. I ain't receiving that. He said, the words of your mouth will defile you. James said, the tongue can defile the whole body. Fear is the reverse gear of faith. You've heard David talk something similar to that. And fear is produced by believing wrong things. Fear is faith in the enemy's ability. Anyway, I just thought that little portion there, I thought it would wake up some of us to start confessing the good confession rather than confessing the enemy's good confession. And we need reinforcement of that every day so that we won't speak nothing but the good report. We don't have to speak anything but what God says. That's what he talks about. You're speaking like an oracle of God. When you speak that I have this or I have that problem or whatever. I don't have enough money. You're speaking for the enemy. And that's not what God wants. He wants us to speak for Him. We thank you, Lord, that all the man-child ministry and all the bride has this ability to speak only as an oracle of God. We speak only. Somebody asks you how you done. Bless God, I'm healed, delivered, and set free by the stripes of Jesus. Glory to God. I don't have any problem. If you need some prayer, I'll pray for you. You know. I hear a lot of people tell me, well, that's what God made the doctors for. What? So the doctors could get the glory rather than God get the glory? Nah, don't think so. And I've heard some say, well, God made the doctors for those who don't have enough faith. How many of you would trust a doctor nowadays to work on you after what we just went through? I wouldn't trust I don't care who it is. Yeah, Missy.
Gosh, I think about that sometime and I think, oh, the Lord's brought me so far in that and gone so long without that. I fear to even think about it, you know, because I'm like, I fear the Lord's discipline, you know, for doing something like that. Because I've been so long believing Him, you know.
I don't fear the discipline so much as I fear what they're going to do to me after I get there.
Well, both. But
I don't fear the Lord in that respect because He's got a lot more grace than we think, Missy.
Yeah, but I know, but I still, you know.
Yeah. I understand. I understand.
Praying too.
But the problem is nowadays, it's not like it was 40, 50 years ago where doctors were doing the things right that they needed to do. Now you've got drug companies paying the doctors to sell their product. And then you're going to get dope. It might not even be needed for what you're doing. You'll get something else. Go ahead, Ben.
It's kind of hard I'll bring up the situation that happened with Juan not too long ago. So we all prayed for him and he's healed and he's all good in Jesus' name. Praise God. But he's still like, they still went to the doctors and everything. And then, you know, there was no judgment on that. That's where their faith is. And he healed a lot quicker than, the usual, people do. That's what the doctor said, at least. So praise God for that. But, just to coincide with what Michael was saying, that they gave him that the end thing was that he had pneumonia, but before they thought he had blood clots. So they gave him blood thinners before that. And to help with that, they gave him shots that he had to shoot into his stomach. And so they prescribed him that before they gave him the diagnosis of pneumonia. So before they even figured out what was wrong with him, they were already prescribing him with a drug that wasn't helping him. And then they were still giving him those blood thinners after they gave him the diagnosis of pneumonia. And I was just like, am I crazy? But I didn't say anything to them. I was just, all I said to him was, you're already healed in Jesus' name. That's all I would ever say.
When do you start questioning them?
When did I start questioning
them? No, I mean, as a patient, and they missed the first one, they missed the second one, and here we are going on the third one now.
Yeah.
When did you start
Right
questioning?
away, right
Wait a
away,
minute.
I doubt. I already
Time
have,
out.
yeah, like, I don't.
I don't either, Ben. I don't trust him anymore. Yeah, Lana.
Hey, Michael.
Hello.
Your question about when do we start questioning them got me thinking. I have a sister-in-law who is a nurse. And I think what I've experienced with her probably speaks for a lot of nurses out there. Not all of them. We know there's the good and the bad out there. But when you ask people like her with her spirit and with this, with the spirit of Jezebel and many others in that same career field, they shut you down so quickly. They slay your spirit so quickly with their pride and their intelligence that you would ra that you sometimes wish you would have not opened your mouth to begin with. And I know that keeps me from speaking up, even though when I've been in the hospitals, I had questions myself and I tried to ask. And they either lie straight to your face and tell you that you need a letter from the attorney in order for them not to administer the K shot to your baby. Or they simply, just, they slam you up with facts in such a manner that you wish you had never opened up your mouth to begin with. And I just praise the Lord for those of us who can keep our mouths shut and humble ourselves and trust the Lord, even though we end up in the hospital like myself, because he's got a perfect plan in that. But I just kind of wanted to share that I think a lot of us would like to ask questions, but that particular industry, especially full of women, man, they got that spirit that there is no room for arguing. They've been brainwashed so thoroughly that yeah, you'd rather not ask.
Well, is it not your right to understand and know what they're doing to your body? Or do they have some kind of secret law that says that they can do whatever they want to once you get inside their establishment?
I think after a certain point, of you questioning them, anything beyond their intelligence, they're going to look at you like a like you're crazy or you're a conspiracy theorist. Because when Theo and I went in with Gabe after I couldn't give birth at home, that was the number thing that one thing that was whispered behind our backs. I mean, we heard it was they attempted a free birth at home. And basically that put us in a crazy house. And we heard the nurses whispering this about us, even though we were in a children's hospital and we were in the hospital because of Gabe, not because of me. And so they will use anything against you in order to come up on top.
I know. I've heard of stories like that. I remember y'all going through that. It was heartbreaking, but think about it this way. At some point in time back in history, they didn't have doctors, and women just had babies all the time. Good babies, mostly, I suspect. And why do we need a, man, I ain't gonna go in there. me and David were talking about this the other day. He said, well, shoot, what we found out that, midwives cost a lot of money nowadays. Almost as much as a doctor, if not more. And, David said, Dave, what? I'd do it for free. He said, I've delivered five of them. Said, I can do I said, well, go ahead if you want to do that. I would feel very uncomfortable trying to do it. Go ahead, Missy.
And one was a footling breech.
Yeah, one was a foot and brace, and he just commanded to come out in the name of Jesus. And it came flying out like a football. Oh, my gracious. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I feel for people that I don't have to go through that. I had three children and they were all done by a doctor, but I was straight up heathen back then. But it's a whole lot cheaper than it is nowadays. I think my last one cost me about $2,000. My first one cost 500. I will tell you this much. I've been funny. Well, I better not tell it on recording. I ain't gonna tell it on recording. No, I haven't been my. All right. Anybody else? The faith thing. Let's get back to faith. We speak it and we believe it and we walk it out. You walk it out. If you need provisions, you pray. And somebody said, well, you need to borrow some money. Well, God, it's coming. It's coming. I've already got it. I've already got the money. You have to say you got the money. Or do like David did. It's in the post box out there right now. Amen. It's there. And that's all I wanted to say about faith. I just want you to understand that our words, as we went through quantum faith here a while back, our words are very important to what you confess. Lord had us confess last night that we were all healed and walking in divine health. Did anybody want to do that tonight? You're healed and walking in divine health. Glory to God. I'm healed and walking in divine health. Well, let me get that thing and we'll just recite it. I'll recite it and y'all can recite after me, just like we did, if I can find it. That's what the Lord said to do. Yeah, here it is. That's what the Lord told us to do last night, told me to do last night. He had me put this in my pocket. I didn't have a clue. And I got there and Jesus showed up and he told me at the end, he said, go ahead and do that. He said, everybody who says it and believes it, this will heal them. It will heal them. So I'm going to recite it. You repeat it, confess it out loud. And you'll be walking in divine health after your healing, during your healing, because you're already healed. All right. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I forbid any sickness or disease to come upon my body. Every disease germ and every virus that touches this body dies instantly in the name of Jesus. Every organ and every cell,
and every cell,
every tissue
every tissue
of my body
of my body
functions in the perfection, functions
functions in
in
the
the
perfection
perfection to which God created it to function.
to which God created it to function.
And I forbid any
And I forbid any
malfunction
malfunction
in this body
in this body
in the name of Jesus.
in the name of Jesus.
And Lord, I thank you
Lord, I thank you
that we walk
that we walk
in divine health
in divine health
from this second on.
from this second on.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And I am delivered.
I am delivered.
From the evils of this present world.
From the evils of the present world.
For it is the will of God in my life.
For it is the will of God in my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father. I receive it myself too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Glory be to God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Anything that touches your body from this point on dies a natural death right there. A quick death. Quick, quick, quick. Got to go. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Yeah, Missy, you got your hand up or you? Okay. All right. I believe it. Y'all believe it, don't you? Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. It's already done. Praise God. That's what Jesus showed up last night, by the way, at the fellowship. I'll just briefly go over it. I'm not going to get down into some detail of David dancing and all that. I ain't going to get into that. Anyway, we started a praise last night, and the Lord showed up. He showed up in a portal. You know what a portal is? It's like something inside of something. He wasn't in the room, but he opened up a TV, and he was walking down a beach, it looked like. And he was dancing with us and just having a great time. And we went to about three or four songs, and the Spirit of God was so heavy in there. It was so great. I don't know, heavy is the wrong word. Uplifting. It was so light in there, I should say. It was great. It was probably one of the most anointed meetings we've had in a long time. It was from start, when they started playing, boy, Holy Spirit started working on us. Most of the singing was done in the Spirit. Believe it or not, it seemed to me like that's the way I was singing it. And about the last song that they were on, David sat down for that one. No, it was the second to the last song. David sat down. No, it was the last song. One of them. Anyway, he sat down and was resting, and I was still up there, praise God, and I saw Jesus walk up, and he said, ask David if he wouldn't stand back up. So I went over and grabbed him, pulled him up out of his chair. I said, Jesus wants to do something with him. And he stood up, because I'd already told him that Jesus was there. And he stood up and he started praising God. And I saw Jesus walk up and give him a hug. Just give him a hug. And then when he walked out of him, he walked out of him with his spirit, David's spirit, and was dancing with him. Dancing with David's spirit. And David was just sitting over there in the physical, just praising God. But his spirit was out there dancing with Jesus. I don't know, y'all can say what you want to. That's what I saw. Then the song was over. And I've sat down. I was kind of tired. I stood up the whole time. And I felt David grab my hand and pull me up out of the chair. And me and him and Angelica and Brandy, I believe Brandy was in there, and Debbie. And I don't know, some more were in there. In fact, he was dancing to Dance Like David Dance. You remember that song? Dance Like David Dance? Boy, he was cutting the rug, too. I'm telling you, he was getting after it. I said, go, boy, look at you. And we just had a wonderful time last night. It was to me, it was one of the best ones we've had in a long time. Awesome. David loved it. He had a great time. I did too. I think everybody did. I think everybody had a wonderful time. Okay. I believe that's going to be a regular thing, don't y'all? I believe that's going to be a regular thing for everybody. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All those who want it, I'm just saying. Amen. Let's see what this said. Yeah. Yeah, I do too, Ben. Ben says, no offense to any family members in the medical field. I got children. I got a child that was in the medical field. I do believe some of these people have very good intentions. Yeah, they do. There's a lot of them that do. But the upper echelon is the ones that you have to look out for. They're the ones that give the orders. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I remember what John Alexander Dowie did when he was making the city of Zion, Illinois, up there by Chicago. He put up a sign on both ends of the town. No doctors or lawyers allowed. That's what he put up there. No doctors or lawyers allowed. He didn't like lawyers either. But, yeah. We're coming to a time to where God's going to be our only help. And right now is the time to be doing it, just relying on him for everything. Right now. Glory to God. Okay. Anybody got any questions or any comments? Anybody remember where we were? Where is my tablet? Anybody remember where we were on Proverbs?
I believe it was verse 17 or 16, but correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Michael?
Yes, Joe.
Sorry, can I ask just a question before we start the verse? Just for interest sake for me, I was just thinking about it yesterday. As you know, when Jesus was multiplying the fishes and the loaves on that, I think the last one was 3 days the people were, went with him and he's teaching them. My question of what I was thinking about, why don't they say anything about water? Why do you think?
You mean with the, you mean like a combo meal?
Yeah, no. I mean, they were 3 days with Jesus teaching, but I mean, they never said anything about water. They only talk about fishes and the loaves. I just maybe think you got an idea on that.
Oh, I don't know. Has anybody got anything on that? I thought she was talking about the meal itself. I wonder if they just carried their own with them. I don't know, Joe. That's a good question, though. Did anybody know?
I mean,
Andrew, you know? Okay.
All right. I don't mean to disrupt the meeting, but just
oh, no, no, that's okay. That's a good question. I'm going to put that down for a later deal. You talking about on the 5,000?
Yep. And I think it was three days they went with Jesus. In other words, by 3 days they was walking with him and sitting on the grass. In other words, they haven't eaten. They're fasting for 3 days when they got fishes and loaves. But they never said anything about water. I'm not sure if it's any water. My thinking was, I'll be quick. My thinking was versus on when Jesus was talked to that lady on, I think it's Saif, I'm not sure what that woman, on a well, getting water. He was still telling her it was, the water I will give you, you will never thirst. In other words, if you're thinking, probably the teaching they had for 3 days, never get them thirsty. It's only my thinking, so I just want to share that. If my teaching is living water, you never get thirsty again. But the bread of life, you have to bread. In other words, you have to share the bread. That's all I want to add. Thank you, Michael.
Well, you may have answered your own question. Go ahead, Missy. Are you going to teach?
No, I was thinking
Oh, okay.
I was thinking something similar, Joe, that, you know, Jesus taught him for all that time, and he had rivers of living water flowing out of them, out of himself to them. So I was thinking similar.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Good answer. I don't know if, you know, it could be. I never heard anyone talk about it. Joey, that's why I like you, man. You come up with some good questions. Those that I can understand anyway. Yeah, he's a smart guy.
Michael, you can all understand. Jesus gave yes. you can all understand.
I sure everything. Do. Bless God, yes. I sure can. Hey. I can understand every word you say. I'm glad
Amen.
You reminded me. Thank you for reminding me, Joe. Now I feel condemned. Get that out of here, man. No, I don't. No, I don't. You say we're on 16 men?
Yes, sir.
For their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. Okay. I see what he's talking about. Y'all see that? Back up to 11. Or 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. By the way, those of you who don't know, we're in Proverbs chapter 1. I'm reading up to 16. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Okay, does anybody want to elaborate on that? Yeah, Andrew.
I was wondering if it had anything to do with chapter 18 of Revelation. Because it seems like here they're trying to take a spoil. They're trying to be, let's just say the way they do merchandise in the last 500 years, they used to have protectorate of nations and stuff. Go around and do things and say, okay, you're we own you now. So, lots of nations do that to other nations, to other peoples anyway. And, because it seems like, they want to spoil here and let's just say that, the colonization, capitalization, and conquering was kind of what the Europeans used to do. So all those European languages went out and did this all over the world. And that's what I'm kind of likening these verses to, because even though that's more of a physical blood, but it is a spiritual blood too, considering that some of these people may have been Christians, called Christians. I'm not sure. Anyway, it doesn't really give a good name to the continent that was supposed to have the Word of God anyway. So, for most of those nations had the Word of God for over 1,000 years. And anyway, it does sound like that. Then they go after these people in a physical way, but then there's the spiritual blood too. Like they shed, if we are to over, I think I said that last time, if we're to overcome by the blood, then, you know, there's a verse there in 1 John chapter 5, I think it's the 7th or 8th verse, that there are three that bear record in heaven. The spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one, which is God. So if you cause a little one to stumble, a millstone gets hung around your neck and you could be thrown into the sea. But then in that very same chapter 18 of Revelation, there is an angel that takes a huge millstone and throws it into the sea. And that could be like a corporate body millstone of people that maybe caused the spiritual blood of people to be shed. I don't know. So I think this is both physical. Perhaps in this day when they were saying this, it was more of a physical thing because they were under the law. But we're under the fulfillment of the law. When we take any of this across into our covenant, then think not that I come to destroy the law and the prophets. There was a prophet who wrote this. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill, which would be the grace of God. And we always have to give people grace, even though sometimes we might not want to, but we still have to. You have to give yourself some grace too. Because, you know, you can be wacko sometimes. and you got to come out of that. So you got to give yourself some love and grace too. You know, it speaks of a husband loving his wife like his own body. And we can see the spiritual concept there, since we are the blood of the Lamb. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And therefore, that should help people to realize who they are. If Jesus is using that allegory to love your own wives as your own body, then we can relate to what he's saying there in the spirit, because we're one body in Christ. Mm-hmm. And we desire that more and more every day. And even though you get a messed up one trying to tell you, oh, you're all messed up and you're no good anymore. And he's constantly throwing things at you, and the battle rages on. And I just encourage the people to be encouraged by the Lord and to continue. It's not necessarily always a thing you feel. It's the word of God, and it's there's for no word of God shall be void of power. Or I'm not ashamed of it. You're not ashamed because it's already done and it's answered, and it should be. And you stick to it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, according as his divine power hath given to us all things. I like to. There's some people here trying to convince a blood bought person, according to this word, to do something he's not supposed to do. You know, he's trying to convince them, oh, come on, let's go. You know, we can go fishing without a license. Because they never check, you know. And no, you got to do what's right. And oh, no one checks it when it's 10 miles over the speed limit or 5 kilometers over the speed limit, you know. Well, no one does, yeah, but I don't have a car anymore and I don't drive, so I don't have to worry about that. But, you know, there are things here that need to be determined according to the spirit, not according to the just the pure letter of it. But there is a pure letter of it too that is according to the spirit. You get what I'm saying?
All right. That's good, Andrew. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Seems like that people get caught up in that lifestyle. It's a downhill struggle. They can't stop doing it. It's a demon. Yeah, Andrew.
No, I also would encourage if anyone was caught up into anything like that from their past, that you really have to forgive those people who led you that way. I mean, after all, they could have been your friend or something, and you always have to forgive. And then of course it'll always come into your head, why did God lead me this way? Well, it had to be done. God knows what he's doing. And you learn from the experience so that you can help others. Sometimes people don't know that even just in their plain talking in a fellowship that they could be helping people. Praise and glory to God. All glory to God. Thank you, Father. You are sovereign. You lead our lips. You lead our minds. You lead our hearts.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else on verse 16? Why do you suppose he says their feet run to evil?
Michael?
Yes, Joe.
You think that could be because it's their nature? In other words, they can only do what they are.
It could be, yeah. Absolutely. They don't have the conscience of God in them. You know, I speak about this after being says what he wants to say. Go ahead, Ben.
Well, the feet kind of remind me of a psalm. I forget where it is. Psalm 100 and something. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path, or light to my path or something. So their path is their light, not their light. Their feet are the dark and their path is in the dark or something. I don't know. That's just the verse that comes to my head. Like, we have a path of light. They have a path of dark. So they're basically running on that path because it's easy to run on that path because that's where their nature is. And our path is in the good one.
Yeah, they don't have, their conscience has been seared. They don't have any, they're just trying to keep from getting caught. Yeah. A race, yeah, could be. 17, And what a, let me go on here. And they make haste to shed blood. Yeah, they don't mind shedding blood for a nickel. My goodness gracious sakes alive. Verse 17, for in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. I don't know what that means. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. Well, I know how they go ahead, Ben.
Well, it reminds me of that verse in the Psalm 91, the net of the fowler. And so when we understand how these people work, how these unregenerated people are, and how they work, we can kind of see how their spirit works and tries to entice us. And so as a hunter, you wouldn't set up your trap in front of your prey so they can see it as you're doing it, right? Because that wouldn't really work all too well. So when our knowledge and our understanding kind of sees how this spirit works, like David kept on talking about how he can see faction in someone's eye, and he can see it right away because of his well-learning and his experience that he has with them and what the Lord gave him just to see it. So he can sort of see the trap already trying to be laid. That's kind of where we need to come with our discernment. We need to kind of see with our spiritual eyes how these spirits are working, you know, the traps that they try and set up. And then, you know, it's all in vain. It's all, there's no point in them doing it because we already see it.
Amen. Talking about the conscious being seer, I remember one time we got a guy back from Paxton that the Lord has wiped his brain clean completely. He couldn't even drive his vehicle for almost a year. And we prayed him back. Kept praying for him. And finally the Lord opened up his brain again. And as soon as he did, he went right back into the sin. Right back into it. That was amazing to me. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. Somebody tell me what that means. Someone, somebody. Yeah, Missy.
Well, it makes me think of those that dwell in heavenly places, and they see in the sight of any bird, you're going to catch them if they're dwelling. They're not going to be deceived, you know. They're not going to be snared by the net.
Yeah.
Because they're dwelling in the heavens.
Yeah.
Makes me think of.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? So what does a bird do when it sees a net? It takes off. It says, that ain't going to happen to me. Jailbirds, is that what we're talking about? Anybody got anything on that one you'd like to talk about? Well, let's go to the next one, see if we can glean anything out of it. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Huh. Yeah, Missy.
The pit they dig, they're going to fall into. They're going to reap what they sow.
Yeah. Could be. Yeah, Bill.
This sort of reminds me, well, verse 18 and 19 pretty much remind me of that verse in Ezekiel 34 and 10. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the sheep. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, and I will deliver my sheep from their mouth, and they may not be food for them. So it's sort of like that whole, the first 10 verses, if I remember correctly, it's talking about how the shepherds were just kind of, they weren't feeding the sheep. They were just feeding themselves. And obviously we can see that in our day. Our shepherds are scattering the flock amongst the denominations and whatnot. But they're sort of doing it for themselves or their own ministry and their own pride. And so, at least that's what it's showing me in these Proverbs. They're basically just doing it for themselves. And I believe it's 1st or 2nd Corinthians. We're supposed to preach for Jesus Christ, not ourselves. 1st or 2nd Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. We preach for the Lord Jesus Christ, not of ourselves. I believe that's what it says. It's not supposed to be a self-edification thing. It's supposed to be for Christ. It's supposed to be edifying the church. You're a teacher teaching. It's not supposed to be for you. It's supposed to be for him. And so, and in the 10th verse, he's basically cutting off the sheep to him so that he's not going to get anything anymore. And then later on in the verse that talks about the Lord going for his sheep and saving his sheep. And we all know what happens. That's the end of that's basically the start of the man-child ministry is what I'm seeing, at least. I'm not, anyways, in our day and age, that's what it's supposed to be.
Okay. Did I read 19? I don't think I did. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. That's what he's talking about in 18. But these men lie in wait for their own blood, and they set an ambush for their own lives. You know, I think about these, greedy preachers that steal from the fellowship for their own gain. And they don't know that what they're doing is sending them a different area than what they want and what they thought they was going to get. I remember Howard Pittman going to hell after he died. Baptist preacher. And he was, Lord, you can't send me to hell. I did this. I did that. I did this. The Lord said to him, that's what happened. You did it for yourself. You didn't do it for me. Changed his outlook completely after he came back. Praise God, he came back. First thing he did, we got filled with the Holy Spirit. But how many preachers do we have out there that are stealing from the flock, stealing from the homeless out there, stealing from all the people that are needy for themselves, buying jet planes, and not just one, bunch of them. And they don't know that they're destroying themselves and the people around them. Anybody relate to that? Amen. Okay. Anybody else on 17, 18, and 19? Did you want to say something, Andrew? Okay. The call of wisdom. Proverbs 1 and 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? What we got there? That's somebody called wisdom. Who is that? Well, let's see. Let's mark it down here. Wisdom cry. Go ahead, Ben. I'm sorry. I didn't see you. I just had my head.
No, no. I just raised my hand. It's all good. Something just kind of came to me that came to me not too long ago. A lot of people would read this verse and they would say, oh, these are talking about unbelievers. These are talking about people that don't believe in God. And what we know about our calling is step one. And then it's sort of just like we need to walk in truth instead of just believing, just having that first mm-hmm. initial belief. So it sort of gives a different mindset of we need to choose the way that God wants it to be, and not a simple way that our mind can fabricate. So another verse that comes to my head is that one in Deuteronomy 30 and 19. I said before you life and death, therefore choose life. And these words are life. And Jesus Christ is the light of life. So the word is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what we're supposed to choose over this simple thing that we can fabricate in our own mind. Some other things that came to my head. She's at the entrance of the gate. Jesus is that gate. He said he referred to himself as the gate with the sheep that come into the gate at the front of the gate, and the thieves, they kind of hop over the fence and try and go a different way. That's something else that came into my head. Basically, this is just this is our calling. This is it's sort of the beginning of our calling. She's calling out like, or she's calling out to the ones that are straying away. This so-called she crieth from the chief place of concourse. She being wisdom. She's basically the one that's screaming in our head, like, or not screaming in our head, but going into our head, like, find truth, find truth, find truth. And that's what we're supposed to be doing is finding truth and not just settling for something that's simple is what I'm getting from this, because anything that'll contradict their simple mind, they scoff at or they don't like it because it doesn't feed into their doctrine or feed into their self-ego or feed into what they think, or who God is, like once saved, always saved. That doesn't really fit in with a lot of what I read in the Bible. So they hate some verses or they don't even read some verses. Anyways.
Well, if I could, I'd take Paul out and strap him up, you know?
Exactly. That'd be about, I don't know, 60% of the New Testament gone.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. And in the market, she raises her voice. Nobody's listening. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she's all through the Bible, he's crying out. Wisdom. Jesus is crying out throughout the whole Bible. For people to just listen to him and quit listening to these men and women, I should say. And then 21 says, at the head of the noisy streets, he cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, he speaks. Then 22, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? How many of you have ever tried talking to a person who doesn't believe that the Holy Spirit is something that you can receive separate from your salvation? That's a prime example of simple ones. Love being simple. When the Lord plainly shows you in Acts that the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are, can anybody show me in the Bible where it says that the gifts of the Spirit have stopped? I know what verse they use, but that's completely out of context of what the verse is talking about. Yeah, Missy?
What just came to me about, you know, the simple ones, I read a definition on that a while back, you know, it's just the unlearned. And what just came to me is they're willfully ignorant. They don't, yeah. They don't want to know anymore.
They don't want to know anything that keeps them away from their sin.
They don't want to know anything that'll make them responsible.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I've talked to some of my kin folk about it, and they're once saved, always saved. And I'm not going to let go of that. Bless God, that's the way I am. I'm going to be in heaven because once saved, always saved. God's got me in His hand; He ain't turning me loose. But I remember what a good Spirit-filled preacher said, no, he won't turn you loose, but you'll definitely walk out of it. And that's what happens. They don't bear the fruit of Jesus in their life. I'm not picking on any one denomination. I'm telling you, all of them are like that, just about it. There were some in the past that were, I suspect, I'll tell you this, Mike. Most of them were good people back when they first started those denominations. The Methodists were preaching holiness all over the country, all over the world, I should say. The Wesley brothers, they were doing that. They were preaching holiness. I look at them. They got homosexuals in there preaching the word of God. Women preaching. And then, you know, they're not the only ones. Good gracious, you got all kinds of garbage going on now. But they started out in a holiness movement. Okay. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? Along with scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge. How many of you have ever been scoffed before? I have. Yeah, absolutely. If you talk to any about the Lord Jesus and your belief system from the Bible, you're going to be scoffed at. Now here's the good part. Verse 23. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I'll pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words, the words in the Word, in the Bible, known to you. Listen, y'all know what the tribulation is for. You've been here long enough to know what the tribulation is for. That tribulation is going to have a bunch of them doing that verse right there. Don't you think? I think that's what he's talking about. I don't know. I could be completely wrong. If you turn at my reproof, what's his reproof going to be? A shaking. To shake them out of those. Houses. Of ill repute. And when they come out, they're going to be looking for you and you and you and you. Everybody here that's going to be out there getting the truth of the gospel out and seeing the signs and wonders following those people. When they see that signs and wonders, what is this? I've never seen this before. I'm going to go over and check that out because we don't do this in my church. The pastor's already took off for wherever. He's trying to find him a hidey hole so he can make it through the tribulation. Well, I got news for him too. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus, you ain't gonna make it. But that's what we're looking at coming up here shortly. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. She's been crying out for a long time. Jesus has been crying out for a long time, hasn't he? But he says, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I'll pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. How? Through the people that are out there spreading the gospel, the true gospel. Yeah, Andrew.
It'll be the people, but by the Spirit he just left them with, because he sends the Comforter in 14:26, I think, of John. But it's what he sends from the first day you heard. You know, from the first day you heard your salvation, actually, he was sending those words to us. I don't know. Sometimes I guess we may have ignored them, but he's going to get his way eventually, and you should listen to him because you would be admonished or chastened by the Lord, and Sometimes you just need to talk to someone. I mean, you can see it in these Christian movies sometimes, you know, where there's two good buddies, and it's good to have a good buddy as a Christian,
yeah.
But then you can go talk to them, and, you know, really sometimes it's so bad today, sometimes just having a good friend to convince you not to do some stuff, because everyone else is doing it. And, you know, but, yeah, so it's 14:26. He's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name to teach you all things and remind you of everything he taught you. And just like Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, it's not like he's already in perfection. And don't be thinking, well, if he's so much better than I was, how will I ever catch up? Because you're all equal. You know, Paul was an apostle, yes, but he would consider if a Christian came to the Lord that day as being his equal. So that's a difference from the way the world does it. And Jesus actually taught his disciples this in the book of Acts, that you're not a benefactor. And it's a good sign for being humble, because, you know, you're sharing in a way that is not for your own credit. No, it's the Lord's crown. It's his crown. You're going to crown him with many crowns. And he's got the master crown, and they just get absorbed into his. You know, you can't download something twice on your computer. It'll tell you you're doing it twice. Jesus, you ain't going to give Jesus any ideas for his crown. Anyway, so praise God. You know, it makes you kind of wonder, because it sounds so serious. And I just sometimes wonder about that. Because I don't know if serious is the right thing. I think more so it's get rid of serious and put humble in there. Because even though you have to be serious in the intent of having the earnest of the Spirit, but the earnest of the Spirit is freely given. You know, it's not something where, okay, you better receive this now, Andrew. I'm going to twist your arm. So I think it's that way, because, and it's all available. And it's, you can feel sometimes so defeated because of so much that's made and given to you. But I think God knows what he's doing. And, you know, if you're a person that has two talents, just be getting 100% of whatever you have. You know, some people are very blessed, you know. You know, I kind of wonder about all those blessings, whether they just are made to humble you. Because sometimes, you know, you might feel alone. And you go, wait a minute, I'm not alone. You have someone who lives inside of you who's the Son of God. And apparently the Father comes along with it. Because it says so in the Word. When you love God, when you love Jesus' Word, as it says here, he's talking about the Word here. And love is a Holy Spirit thing. It's the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. Then if any love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. and we will come and make our abode with him. That includes the Father, the Almighty, the magnificent glory. And sometimes, you know, you go, I remember a verse somewhere in the Old Testament, command ye me. And it's just so exciting. And at the same time, everything seems to come up when you think of that caution and caution and care and encouragement and all in a whole bunch of plethora of good words for you, you know, and to keep you going from the Lord. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Yeah, Julie.
I was just thinking how in context where it kind of goes with the verses before that about how wisdom's crying out to people, right? And I believe, you know, wisdom is Jesus, the word of God. Anyhow, just in context, just, you know, if you turn at my reproof, if you repent, you know, if you listen and you take the correction, you heed the correction, heed what the word's saying, you know, and the Lord's saying, I'll pour my spirit upon you. And, you know, I believe the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the revelation of, you know, the word of God. So it's, I'll make my words known unto you. So it's, he'll open up. When you read the word, you'll get understanding. He'll teach you. He'll get reveal himself. He'll reveal the Lord to you and start, you know, opening up the word. And I think Ben quoted it earlier about is the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. You know, it's light. It's truth. It's, you know, it's the words. The Bible is, you know, God's, you know, how do we live this life when we're not supposed to be here very long, you know? So we know how to live here. We're sojourners. And I just kind of see it that way. It's like, you know, just, you know, if you do that, turn up my report. I'll give this to you and make you understand. That's how I see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And I can see in the days ahead, many people turning back to Christ because of his grace and mercy. He told us the other day that his grace is unbelievable, unbelievable. And he's going to show a lot of grace in the days ahead. A lot of people are going to get into the kingdom because of it. But he's doing some pretty serious warning here. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, some of us were pretty messed up, you know, in the past. And this could have even been after you were saved. And he still gave you the grace.
Yeah.
I think it's because of the times we live in where you got so many of these different words coming at you from different angles that, you know, it, they're not, well, for instance, he's talking about the word here, but you know what it says in 1 Corinthians. They didn't speak the same. They don't speak the same thing. They don't have the same mind. They don't have the same judgment. And what's in Galatians, you know, the people really have to examine themselves and repent quite a bit. Because in Galatia, it talks about a different gospel. And if there's all these divisions, then they're usually divided by teaching and word. So, you know, anathema, someone, you know, if you have a different gospel, it's an anathema. And it was defined here to me for the first time as curse. But the way I was told anathema meant was you're devoted to evil if you do that. And that is a curse. And anathema would be devoted to evil. That when they were so quickly removed from the gospel with a different word, you know, and we're always bombarded with different words constantly from people around us. And of course the tempter comes too. And we just got to send them away. We got to have defense verses. Like if someone gets saved around you, give them some defense verses. Give them the Luke, what is it, 10, yeah, just 10, 19, and 20. Give them 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. You have to give them something. Else they're just going to go off and think, well, they're doing it, and they're Christian, you know, and there's just all these different Christian faiths. And I'm just glad that God has grace and mercy and he's stern. He's everything a father's supposed to be. And, you know, sometimes you wonder about fatherhood. And it ain't that easy. But it's kind of really nice when they're babies. It's nice when they're babies, you know. Come on, get that touchdown, son, when you're in high school. You know how many days you had to change? put some effort into it. I had to. Especially the moms or something, you know. Or anyway, it's something you think about when you get to be my age, and you would want the good times. That's all. You just want those good times, and I think that's what God the Father wants. He wants to remember the good times that he had, and of course he wants you to be corrected too. I hope that's an encouragement, because he's an almighty God. He knows everything. He knows what's going on in our minds right now. And we want that transformed mind and to be that living sacrifice. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. He wants everybody to turn, doesn't he? He does. He wants them all to turn. That's his wish, that everybody would turn. He told him, he said, if you turn and I reprove, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you, and I'll make my words known to you. He can do that. Yeah, Andrew.
Some of us older people who don't have their fathers anymore would love to have a chance just to talk to them again. Just for a while. Yeah. And as a person growing up, you're always trying to please dad. So, yeah. You know, wouldn't a father have to instill into his children to please God the Father, Dad upstairs, God in heaven? Why doesn't, like, I know children like to please their parents, but why isn't that not there for the father sometimes, you wonder, you know? you know, because you can get some people who are in some really weird denominations of Christianity overseas somewhere, and they might not even think of God as being their father, even though they might know the Lord's Prayer and stuff. But, you know, it almost seems like the younger they are, the better behaved they are. And anyway, that's just praise and glory to God.
Amen. Anybody else? All right, verse 24. Let's go to there. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, and I'll stop right there. Nothing good about that, is it? If. Because I have called and you refuse to listen. I've stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Anybody got any thoughts on this? Yeah, Julie.
I was just thinking about the parables that Jesus taught. About the, you know, his, you know, about, you know, my a father having a wedding for his son and inviting everybody come to my son's wedding and everything's prepared and all the people that were too busy and they wouldn't come and made excuses and just wasn't important, you know, but it's like, you know, I believe it, you know, I think that parable, it was like, it was a king, right? It was a king come to my father, my son's wedding. It's like, who wouldn't go to a royal wedding? I'll be there, you know. But, you know, they just weren't interested, you know, and it wasn't important to them. But they called, you know, he's inviting people to come and partake of something free, you know, and it's like in Revelation it says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, you know, come. And, I know, many are called, but they don't come. If you were chosen anyway, it is just, yeah, they didn't want it. Or I was thinking too, it's like, you know, they didn't want God to rule over them. They wanted a king, you know, and so God gave them what they wanted, you know. It is a king to rule over us. Not when they give them judges to rule over them at that time.
Yeah. It's hard to, y'all know all this. Yeah, Andrew.
Who's he calling to? He's calling his own people.
Yes.
He's calling out right there in the parable to come to him.
No. He called him. Go ahead, Andrew.
I think I said it before in the smallest letter, which I think is the third of John. There's John, Demetrius, Gaius, And then there's the other guy who didn't, who was doing his own thing. I forget his name. And, but they were all called people. You know, like, why don't they, people who say once saved, always saved, why don't they read that? There's one guy there that's not behaving properly before the church father, the apostle John and Gaius, the elder, and Demetrius, who had a good counsel also. And, you know, and how many different teachings are there? Check out those verses in the second John. You know, he that goeth onward and abideth not in my, in the teachings of Christ, hath not God. And he that goeth onward and abideth in the teachings of Christ, hath both the Father and the Son. If any cometh unto you and bringeth not this teaching, don't let him into your house. And it's not the front door. It's, you know, it's the front door here in the inner man. This is why sometimes you can't speak to the people at work or out when you go for a walk too much. But I don't know. The average person who's half decent knows there's something wrong, I think, in society, especially in North America. I don't know what it's like over there in Europe or Africa. You know, I don't live there. But I think the average person can sense that there's something wrong. Anyway, praise God.
Amen. Yep. There's going to be a lot of them accepted during the wilderness. There's going to be a lot of them that's going to not receive him. That's sad, but that's just what's going to happen. Let's see, where did I stop at? 25, is that where I stopped? I think it was 25. I'm going to mark it.
You read through 27, Mike.
Yeah, but
we didn't really just discuss those verses, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I want to stop there. We pretty much covered a little bit of the ones that ignored the counsel. And then next is, what comes next? I hate it, but that's what happens. So I'll mark it on 26. Is there a highlight on this thing?
Are you an Esau?
Yeah.
You can bookmark it.
Yeah, I know. Uh-oh. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to, what is that? I'd like to pray about. I've got every Bible on here, got that verse, Proverbs 1:26. Hey, get out of that thing. Okay, I'll just leave it here. Y'all remember Proverbs 1:26. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for your word. We praise you, Lord, that you will open up people's minds that will bear fruit. And during the tribulations ahead, Lord, let us be ready to give them the truth of the gospel and to show them in the word of God what it is to be a fruit-bearing Christian. And Lord, we praise you and we glorify you for doing that for all of us, that we would have a great grasp of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that when the time comes, Lord, we'd be able to give it out in a simple, glorified way, Lord, because we know that we're not going to move unless your Holy Spirit tells us. And he's already told us in his word. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for that. Lord, I thank you that everybody here tonight that received that, that what we spoke about as far as receiving healing and divine health, it's already happened. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters. And Lord, I ask and I pray that this night, if they're on this side of the world, that they have a good sleep. And if they're on the other side of the world, if they're going back to sleep, that they get a good sleep too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your healing power and your delivering power and your saving power. And we praise you for your grace, Lord, your grace that just amazes us at times. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, saints. God bless you.